All right, Isaiah chapter number 1 is where we're going to be at this evening. Isaiah chapter number 1. My first sermon that I ever preached was at this church. It was in the teen basement. If you've ever been in the teen basement, it was set up much different than it is now. It looked like a basement at the time. Didn't look like the nice chapel that we've kind of turned it into. And I preached my first sermon there. And I just squeaked it away as a 12-year-old young man. And but before that, and Mom and Dad, you may not have recalled my first sermon, but you may recall, how many of you have ever gone to Aldi, the grocery store? And, you know, they always have boxes laying around at Aldi. I used to go to Aldi with my mom and dad, and I'd gather up those boxes, and I'd take them home, and I'd punch holes in them and use pipe cleaner. And I'd fasten those boxes together, and I'd fashion a little pulpit out of all these boxes in my living room. And I'd preach to my family, Pastor Monty, behind an Aldi's box. And so I'm sure it was not very deep, and I'm sure, well, who knows what it was. But anyway, but it was, that's that's right. but I enjoyed that growing up. And anyway, I do have quite the cheering section tonight. I figured since you all knew I was speaking, some may not attend, so I brought my own crowd just in case. And so I've got my wonderful fiance is here and her family. And then I've got a good friend of mine, Rob Caldell from Bible College. He's here with me. And then some family and friends that are also here. My grandparents have come and some of my cousins from Pennsylvania, actually. So they didn't come for me, but they came anyway. And then one of my Bible College professors, Dr. Price, is here, and I'm convinced he's here to spy on me to make sure I'm doing right. So, but that's good, So, but anyway, Isaiah chapter number 1 is where we're going to be. And just out of respect for God's word, why don't we all stand together? We're just going to read 10 verses of Isaiah chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 10. It says this: "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them." Verse 15. "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Will wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given me this evening to proclaim your word to my church. Lord, I pray that you just bless in this time. Meet with us, Lord. Use me as a tool of your ministry. Lord, without you, I'm nothing. God, I pray that you'd use me this evening. God, I pray you prepare the hearts, work in the hearts and lives of the congregation, Lord, and my heart as well. God, I thank you so much for the wonderful summer that I've had here as the intern to be able to serve these people. And God, I pray that you'd be with me as I speak your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had a room in your house that's messy? Okay, I hear some laughs already. How many of you have a room in your house, and you don't need to raise your hand, but just think with me. How many of you, there's that room in your house that's just kind of that cluttered room, that it's just kind of that room when you have something you don't know what to do with, you put it in that room. It just builds up. How many of you, your garage may be that kind of thing. When you find something, you don't know what it is, you don't know where it came from, so you just throw it in the garage. And eventually, your garage is totally cluttered with junk. I grew up out in a little town called Bainbridge, And we lived in a farmhouse out there, my family and I shared a room with my brother Chris. Now, I shared a room with my brother up until I was about 17 years old, 16 or 17 years old. And let me tell you something about the room that we shared. By the way, nothing wrong with sharing a room with a sibling. But how many of you shared a room with a sibling, by the way? Okay, many of you. Okay, so you know my pain, what I'm about to explain to you. Okay, see, I grew up, the room that my brother and I shared was literally, 10 feet by 10 feet? Very small, okay? We lived in the basement. My parents stuck us down in the basement of our house. Now, it was a furnished basement. It was a walk-out basement, two-story house, and it was really nice. We didn't complain much because in that basement, not only did we have our 10 by 10-foot bedroom, but we had our own living room. We had our own kitchen. We had our own bathroom. We had the garage was right there as well. We had the laundry room right there. And not only that, we had doors to the outside world where we could freely roam the 30 acres of farmland or so that we owned, and maybe some others, at night. And so we loved it. We just absolutely loved it. We thrived on it. Mom and Dad, if you didn't know that, we'll talk later. But anyway, we loved that little room. But we shared that little room. And we never thought it was fair because if you went to the upstairs of the house, my sister had a room probably double the size of our room. Wouldn't you say, Chris? Huge. Huge. And she didn't share it with anybody. But we understand she was the youngest child and probably the favorite. So they put her up there. I was just teasing. But anyway, so she had a nice room, but we didn't care. We liked our little room. But the problem is this. When you put two boys as close in age as my brother and I are in a 10 by 10 foot room and say all of your stuff needs to be in this room and it needs to be nice and neat, we saw a problem with that. And so we tried to keep it as clean as we could. But there were times where, we'd go in and play with something and we'd just leave it out. And eventually our room would get cluttered, as most children's bedrooms do. And we'd be out playing or doing something and we'd hear our mom call, "Boys, get in here and clean your room." And it was something along the lines of that. And so she'd call us in and we'd be like, "Oh, man, the room, the old room, it's gotten dirty again. What are we going to do?" And so we'd go into our bedroom and we'd be looking at stuff and thinking, we could clean this. I mean, spotless, totally spotless. We could throw away some junk. This could be the nicest room in the house. We could do that, couldn't we, Chris? I mean, we were capable. But we looked at it and thought, you know what? This cleaning the room business is getting in the way of our good time. And it does at times. It does at times. And so we decided, well, how about this? Let's just stash everything in corners and under the bed and in the back of our closet where the clothes kind of hide it. And on the shelves, we'll just cover it with a wash rag or something to where it doesn't look messy. And we'll just do what needs to be done to make it look and appear nice. Of course, we would do that. We did that many times. We were pretty good at it. And our parents would come down to check the room, and they weren't happy. So we'd have to finish actually cleaning the room. But what I'm getting at is this. Although we were told to clean our room, and we knew we were supposed to clean our room, our hearts were not exactly in cleaning that room. We had other plans. Our hearts were set on the great outdoors, hiking those woods, playing in the barnyard, whatever it may be, but not cleaning our room. And so our hearts, because our hearts were not in it, we just did it half-heartedly. We didn't do it to the best of our ability. We weren't trying to please our parents to the best of our ability. We were just trying to get by. And so what we had there was basically a little bit of hypocrisy in our service. We made it appear very nice, but yet it really wasn't at all. It was just a show. It was just a cover-up. What we see here in Isaiah chapter 1 is the nation of Judah, and they are living in sin. However, while they're living in sin, they are still offering sacrifices unto God. They're still having these traditional feasts and things like that. And it may appear nice. It may seem like it was a good thing, but as we'll find out, their hearts were not truly in it. And so God has to confront them by means of His prophet Isaiah, confronting the nation about their sin. And we're going to look into that this evening. But if there's one point that I want us to get this evening, it's simply this. And our main points will kind of surround this main idea. And that is simply this. God desires, congregation, that His children seek Him with their whole heart without hypocrisy in their service. God desires that His children seek them with their whole heart. We're going to look at what it means to truly serve God this evening. And it all comes down to a heart issue. And so we're going to look at several areas of the heart and several areas of our service to God to be able to serve our God to the absolute best of our ability. Our point number one is this. True service, if you're taking notes, true service to God comes from our heart. That's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. If our heart is not in what we're doing for God, if it's not in the service that we're committing, if it's not in what we're doing to serve God, although it may seem like it's really a good thing, if our heart is not truly dedicated, if we're not totally sold out for what we're doing, sold out for the Lord, if we're just doing it half-heartedly, then what we have here is just ritual being divorced from penitence. And if something is not done for the Lord out of a penitent and a sincere heart, then it was not done properly. And it was not done right. Man looketh on the outward appearance. The Bible tells us that. Man looketh on our outward appearance, but God looks at our heart. What we do may seem nice to others, but we have to make it a reality from our hearts. It has to be a reality in our lives, our service before God. Most of you may know this, that you've been around for a while. Most of you have known me since I was about third grade when I came to faith, and some of you even longer than that. But I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church Sunday morning. I was drugged to church Sunday night. I was drugged to Sunday school. I was drugged to Wednesday night service. I was drugged to soul winning visitation. I was drugged to youth activities. I was drugged to church wide events. I was drugged to, well, I wasn't really drugged to potlucks. I kind of liked the potluck services. But I got dragged to church and different events by my parents. And by the way, Mom and Dad, thank you for doing that. Thank you for bringing me to church. But you know something? There came a point in my life where I didn't have to be drug around every which way. There came a point in my life where in my heart I had decided, you know what? I want to do this for my God. I want to do this out of love for my God. Because I love my Lord. I want to serve my God to the absolute best of my ability. Mom and Dad, you know what? They're going to bring me to church anyway. I probably won't have a choice. But you know something? It's okay because I want to go. And not only do I want to go, I want to help my Sunday school teacher. And not only do I want to help the Sunday school teacher, I want to see if I can help in junior church. And I want to see when I'm old enough I can help in Awana. And I want to see if I can help in teen group. I want to try and serve my youth pastor as he's teaching us. I want to see what I can do for my Lord. Because why? Because I love God with my whole heart. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way our service ought to be before God. It comes from our hearts. A sincere desire and love for God. True service comes from our heart. Verse number 11 says this, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." What God is saying is this, you know what? I've got plenty of sacrifices. I've got plenty of people that are doing things, but I don't have people that are doing it from the bottom of their heart with all sincerity. Instead, what we see is people putting on a show. And by the way, that happens a lot. That happens a lot. My friend, in fact, Rob Caudell, you could testify to this. There are students at Bible colleges, Maranatha, not just Maranatha where I attend, but everywhere, who are there and they're involved in some ministries just because they have to be. And it doesn't come from the heart. They're there, they're doing what they have to do to get through, but it's not sincere. It's not from the heart. Hey, true service comes from a heart that it has a burning desire, a love for God Almighty. True service comes from the heart. But secondly, I want us to notice this. True service requires a clean heart. Look with me in verse number 16. The Lord is saying this, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." What God is saying here, ladies and gentlemen, is this. God is saying that if you have a sin in your life, some kind of sin that you're harboring within your heart, you need to make that sin, you need to confess it and get it right before an Almighty God. When we have sin in our lives, it hinders our service to God Almighty. The Bible says, "Put away the evil of your doings. Cease," or stop, "the evil." Get it out of your life. Just cut it out. Whatever it may be, if you want to serve God to the absolute best of your ability, and by the way, I hope you do. Let me tell you something. The Lord, and I don't need to tell you this, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. The Lord loves us, doesn't He? He absolutely does. In fact, He loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His only Son, to Calvary's cross to die on a cross for the sins that you've committed and the sins that I've committed. We learned about that in the Sunday morning service under Pastor Monty's message. Jesus Christ was nailed to that tree. Why? Because He loves us. He was nailed to that tree. Why? Because of my sin. Because of your sin. Because of the sins of the world, Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross. And yet so many of us as Christians, we put on this show every Sunday morning, don't we? We get all dressed up real nice and fine, and we get in our vehicle, and we get on our way to church. And of course, you know, we may be griping at the family the whole way to church. But as soon as we enter that parking lot, boy, the smiles come on. Boy, we're excited to be at church. Boy, it's just, I mean, look at the sunshine, the Lord. I just sense the Lord's presence. You know, we shake everyone's hand. How you doing, brother? How you doing? How's everybody going? Oh, man, the Lord, isn't the Lord good? And we just put on a show sometimes, don't we, while we're at church? I mean, let's be honest. We act different when we're at church than we do at home, don't we? True service is going to require that we have a clean heart. By holding on to that sin in our lives and not letting it go to serve God better, it's selfishness. It's outright sin. And it's that same sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. By the way, Christian, if that doesn't move you, there's something wrong. If that doesn't get you a little bit under some kind of conviction about a sin in your life, or if that doesn't move you about, hey, you know what, I need to continue to do right, then there's a problem. Your heart's not in the right place. By holding on to that sin and not letting go, you're being selfish. If you want to serve God, then you must have a clean heart. And that means, congregation, having a clean life as well. But oh, so often we hear this. Well, compared to so-and-so, I'm doing pretty good. Well, compared to that other church member that sits on the other side of the congregation, we can't stand each other, but they sit over, compared to them, boy, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, compared to that family member, that relative I have, man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm on fire for the Lord compared to them. Hey, you know something? Compared to my coworkers, man, I'm doing great. Hey, compared to those people that I rub shoulders with on a daily basis, man, I'm doing good. But can I tell you something, church member? That's an outright sin. Let me tell you something about what you're saying. God's not interested in what you look like compared to somebody else. God's not interested in what you look like compared to your coworkers. God's not interested in what you look like compared to your family members. It doesn't matter what you look like compared to those people you rub shoulders with on a daily basis. It doesn't matter what you look like compared to that other church member in the pew sitting right next to you right now. It doesn't matter what you look like compared to them. Because what absolutely matters is simply this. What you will look like one day when you stand before an almighty God, just you and Him, nobody else. Because one day, church member, one day, visitor, guest, whoever is here today, one day that will happen. That event will take place in your life where you will stand before an almighty God. And you will give an account for your life. Not that other church member's life. Not your co-worker's life. Hey, not your family member's life. Yours. My question is this. What do you look like before God when it's just you and Him? You know something? We already read that, quoted that verse. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on what? The heart. God doesn't, He sees right through the show that we put on every week. And I'm not saying that each and every one of us does. But He sees right through that. He sees our heart. Hey, He sees right through it. You show up for soul winning and visitation just to come, you know, spend some time, get a good breakfast, knock on a couple doors with somebody. Yeah, okay, whatever. It looks pretty good before others. Hey, you know what? God sees right through that. He sees your heart. He knows your thoughts. Well, that's scary, isn't it? He knows our heart. He knows our actions. He knows our desires. He knows our thoughts. He knows our wants. He knows our needs. God Almighty knows everything about our lives. And that ought to encourage us to live for Him. That ought to encourage us to get our hearts right. Hey, that ought to encourage us to clean up our lives. There may be something in your life right now that you need to get taken care of. And I don't know what it is specifically, but as you sit here this evening, I know that each and every one of us struggles with something. You say, how do you know that? How do you know me? What? The Bible says so. Each and every one of us has some kind of sin, some kind of struggle in our lives. Not necessarily that we give into, but there's a temptation. There's a temptation to give into that sin. By the way, temptation is not sin. It's the giving into that temptation that becomes sin. Satan's going to try and tempt you to do all kinds of evil. You know why? Because he hates you. You know why? Because he hates God. And he wants nothing more than to try and hurt God. And by doing that, he's going to find the people that want to take seriously their lives for serving God. And he's going to want to attack their heart. And if he can change their heart, if he can change their desires away from the Lord and onto something else in this world, some kind of pleasure, some kind of joy that we can get our hands on right now, then he's got you. He wants to hurt God. And by doing that, he's going to try and hurt you. He's going to mess you up. You know something, it's interesting how it takes years and years and years to build a testimony. I mean, it takes years. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayer, by the way. It takes a lot of devotion to God to build that solid testimony. By the way, before God. God sees your actual testimony, okay? The testimony that God sees and the testimony that others sees should be about the same thing, but unfortunately for many of us it isn't. But God sees your testimony. It takes years and years to build a solid testimony. But you know what? It takes a split second to destroy all of it and have it all come shattering down. And then you're back at the bottom. By the way, once you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere else to look but up to Jesus Christ. And praise God that He forgives us of our sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a great verse? What a tremendous verse. That we ought to praise God for verses in our Bible like that, because we know, obviously, that God's Word is the ultimate authority. And my Bible tells me that if I confess my sin before God, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness, to wipe the slate clean. And I can start over before an Almighty God. What an amazing thing. Boy, we ought to thank God for that. True service requires, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a clean heart. You want to serve God to the best of your ability? Then get your heart right. Find that sin in your life and get it out. Cast it aside. Leave it behind and don't look back. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. The King David in the Scriptures, in the Psalms, he says this, "O God, my heart is fixed." David messed up quite a bit in his life, didn't he? He had a lot of mistakes. He had a lot of victories. But you know what? His heart was in the right place. He said, "Lord, my heart is fixed on you. Oh, I messed up again. Forgive me." He made his heart right. True service requires a clean heart. True service comes from the heart. It requires a clean heart. But lastly, I want us to look at this. True service comes from an active heart. Look with me again in verse number 16. The Bible says this, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil." We already looked at that. But verse 17, I want us to notice that first little clause, "learn to do well." Learn to do well. You say, what do you mean by learn to do well? What is the Scripture saying? What is happening here? Well, what it's saying is this, you cannot just get rid of the sin in your life and then stand idle. You can't do it. Because once you get rid of that sin in your life, it's real easy to do. You confess it before God, say, "God, with all sincerity, God, I messed up. God, forgive me. I want to make that sin right. I want my heart to be in the right place." But then you just stop and you sit idle. I've heard it said many times, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And the Lord's going to work, or Satan's going to work on your life while you're not doing anything for God, while you're not watching under prayer, while you're not serving God, while you're not in God's Word, while you're not outreaching souls, while you're just standing there idle, thinking you can just get through life that way, Satan's going to be working on you. And he wants to destroy you. Isaiah here, I love how he speaks. I love Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. In fact, I've been reading in Isaiah through my devotions, just about finished with it. I'm in the 50s right now. And I love how Isaiah constantly speaks with urgency. You know what I mean? Like, he's always got something going on. Like, he just can't get it out fast enough. Like, the next thing that's coming out of his mouth, he's just, I mean, he just can't write fast enough. He can't say it fast enough. He's so excited. He wants you to hear everything. Isaiah speaks with urgency here, and rightfully so, because it is a matter that we ought to take seriously in our lives. Because as we get rid of the sin in our lives, our heart may be in the right place. We may have the sin out of our lives, but if we're not serving God, we're not growing. I pray to God that I never stop growing closer to Him. That, I hope that's your prayer as well for yourself, that you just never stop growing closer to God. There's a list of guys as I go around Maranatha that when I see them, I'll go and talk to them. They'll share with me some prayer requests. And I pray for those guys. They're eager to grow. They want to grow closer to God constantly. And I pray to God that they will continue to grow. I pray to God that they're not hindered in that. By the way, I believe that, and I said this in Sunday school this morning, if you were in there, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to become more like Jesus Christ. If you're striving to become more like Jesus Christ, and by the way, you'll never achieve that level, okay? It's impossible, just so you know. But if you're constantly striving to be like Jesus Christ, then you're constantly growing. If you're constantly looking at the examples that we see in the Scriptures of how Christ is living and acting, you'll constantly be growing. I remember when I was in high school, my youth pastor, Matt Phillips, gave us a book we went through called The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. Phenomenal book. It helped me a lot as a teenager. I still have a copy. In fact, I have two copies of it on my shelf. I'd encourage any teenager, every teenager, to read that book. Fantastic book. And it talks about becoming more like Jesus Christ. If you're striving to become more like Christ, you'll constantly be growing. But true service, ladies and gentlemen, is going to come from an active heart. And I like how Christ goes on then in verse number 18. And by the way, I love verse 18. He says this, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." But sometimes that word just gets me in the Scriptures, because you hear something really great about, oh yeah, I can do this, this is fantastic. And then you see that word, but, and then there's a second option where we can mess up. And it says this, "But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." What God is saying is this. What God is saying is this, hey, I'm laying out my terms before you. You want to serve God? Get your hearts clean. Get Him in the right place and get active serving God. He's saying this, if you're willing and obedient to heed my commands, then you will receive blessings. But he says this, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. By the way, when God says something, He means it. When God says something, it's final. You know, it's interesting, growing up, Mom and Dad occasionally, we do something, we get in trouble. Let's just give a classic example here. I'm sure it happened to myself, probably my siblings more. I was pretty good. More than myself. But anyway, let's say we're at the grocery store. And, you know, you look over and you see that candy bar that you love. The Fifth Avenue candy bar. How many know what a Fifth Avenue is? You hardly see them anymore. I love Fifth Avenue candy bars. Nobody raise their hand up. Well, I like them. But, oh, we got one. Very good. All right. I love the Fifth Avenue candy bar. And there used to be a store down in Danville off Old 36 called Ben Franklin. Everybody know what I'm talking about? It used to be there. Yeah, we used to go in there. I used to buy my cap guns there as a child and my army men. They had good prices there. I liked it. And but they also would sell the Fifth Avenue candy bar. And so we'd go in there to receive our Fifth Avenue candy bar, hoping that Mom and Dad would buy it for us, just fully expecting that since we were such angelic children, that Mom and Dad would just be more than happy, in fact, delighted to buy us that candy bar. And let's say we go in there and, for example, say my sister wants the candy bar. And my parents say no, and let's just say she drops on the floor and throws a fit in the store. Hannah, you can get mad at me later. I'm just, this is an illustration. But let's say she just throws a tantrum in the store. Okay? Mom and Dad say this, all right, when we get home, you're going to get a spanking. Now, occasionally we got it right in the store, but there were times when we were in a hurry that it was prolonged until we got home. Now, let me tell you something about the prolonged spanking, okay? If you've been there, you know, you try and cheer up mom and dad. You try and do things for mom and dad. You try and just be the best child you can be. You bring up some of the best memories you can with mom and dad. I mean, you just laugh. You have a wonderful time. By the way, it's all a show. It's fake. And mom and dad, I don't know if you could see through that, but we tried. And so you put on the show and hoping that they forget. Now, one of our parents, I won't say which one, we could tend to get, you know, have them forget occasionally. But the other one, oh man, ruthless. I mean, there was just no getting around it. I mean, if you did one slip up, that was it. Oh yeah, you get a spanking and you get two for trying to hide it. And so there you have it. You know, we get in trouble. But you know what? When God says something, He means it, and He's not going to forget that He said it. It's final. And God here has laid out His terms, and what He's saying here is this: come now, let us reason together. Hey, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. If you'll be willing and obedient to obey my commands, you'll receive blessings. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The question is this: if you know that you're living in outright sin, and you know there's an area in your life that needs to be made right, will you be willing and obedient to make that sin right? Maybe even tonight. Make that issue right. Maybe it's an issue with somebody else. You need to go to them and make it right. Maybe it's something you just need to come down the altar and pray. Something that you're dealing with. Some kind of trial. Some kind of sin in your life that you need to make right. But congregation, if you instead say, you know what, I don't want what God has for me, and you reject and dismiss and object to God's terms, and you say, I don't want that, God. I want what I can get my hands on right now. I want the pleasures and the joys of this world right now because I can get my hands on it. God, I still want to serve You, but I want to have this at the same time. Can I tell you something? If you want to serve God to the best of your ability, you cannot walk the fence. You cannot walk the fence and say, I want to be on this side, but God, I still want to serve You. I'll just walk this fence for a while. God wants your whole heart, Christian. He wants every bit of it. That's called total surrender to God. And that is something, when a life is totally surrendered to God, that God can really do something with. And He wants to. Each and every one of us, He wants to use us in a great way. Verse 19 and 20 mentions if you're being willing and obedient. By the way, it doesn't say perfect. I'm so glad it doesn't say perfect. Because, ladies and gentlemen, though it may appear that I am far from perfect. Okay, no, I know, I'm far from perfect, okay? God's not saying that we need to be perfect, because we know we can never achieve perfection in our lives. We understand we can never achieve that perfection. But what He is saying is this, that our heart needs to be in the right place. I mentioned King David earlier, classic example. We know King David as a man after God's own heart. That's how he's constantly being pegged. We hear that in Sunday school classes. We hear it all the time. But you know something, as a teenager, I battled with that because I thought to myself, how can a man that messed up so many times in his life be considered a man after God's own heart? I mean, sure, he had some great victories. You know, David and Goliath. We see other victories as well. But you know something, we see some horrible defeats in his life, don't we? In his spiritual condition, horrible defeats in his life. Man messed up a lot. And by the way, we do too. But I always wondered, why can he be considered a man after God's own heart? And I finally came to the conclusion of this, that David wasn't perfect. He was a horrible sinner. But he was a sincere repenter before an almighty God. Hey, you know what? His heart was in the right place. Hey, when he messed up, it wasn't, okay, yeah, well, I probably should make it right with the Lord and go on. No, it was, oh, I messed up. Oh, why did I do that? Oh, Lord, forgive me. He cried out before an almighty God. A man after God's own heart is not perfect, but he's sensitive to the things of God. He's sensitive to the things of God. David was a horrible sinner, just as we are, just as I am. But he was a sincere repenter. My question for you this evening is, how are you serving God? Is it a show? Is it something that you just create a front in your life that when people see you, they think, oh yeah, that's a good guy. That's a nice lady. They love the Lord. Just look at what they're doing. Look at their lives. Every time I see them at church, man, they've got a smile. Oh, I mean, look at this, look at that. And we look at just what we see, but you know something? God looks at the heart, and He's interested in your heart condition. Is your heart in the right place? Can you honestly say that my heart is totally and utterly surrendered to God? How are you serving God? Is it a front in your life, or is it with sincerity? Is there a sin in your life that you need to get right? Sin hinders you from your service to God. Sin will keep you from serving God to the absolute best of your ability. Is there a sin you need to make right? Is there a relationship that you need to mend? Is there something in your life that is defeating you? The Bible says, cut it out. Clean up your act. Clean up your life. Verse number 16, Isaiah chapter 1, we just read it. Cease to do evil. Hey, you know something? That may mean, and dare I say it, turning off the cable television. That may mean getting rid of the internet out of your house. Now, I'm not preaching against the internet. There are some good things on the internet. I use it for the weather. I'm not preaching against the internet, okay? But there are some things on the internet that will destroy you if you let it. And there may be someone here tonight that's in that situation right now. Hey, it may mean getting rid of that. Hey, it may mean getting rid of some movies that you have in your house. Hey, it may mean going to that person in this church auditorium, maybe here tonight, maybe a family member, and going and mending that relationship with them. In either case, whatever it may be, maybe something else, it's going to take some work. Nobody ever said the Christian life is going to be easy. Nobody told me that when I got saved. You know that? Nobody told me it was going to be easy. You know something? When you get saved, oh, it's a joyous thing. By the way, don't you ever lose joy in your salvation. You got to thank God for it every day. What a wonderful thing. When I die, ladies and gentlemen, hey, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. God's Word tells me I'm going to heaven. I know in my heart I'm going to heaven. Not based on some kind of feeling, but on a knowing. I know for sure that when I die, I'll spend an eternity with my Lord. What a glorious thought. What an amazing thought. But you know something? So many of us, we get saved. That's the easy part. Then we got to live for the Lord. Then the temptations start flooding in. Then we've got to make things right with God. Then we've got to strive to live for God. And that's not always an easy thing to do. But Christian, it's required if you're going to serve God to the best of your ability. You've got to clean up your life. You've got to clean up your heart. Find out where your heart is, congregation. Make sure that it's clean. And then be actively serving God. Get involved in the ministries of Faith Baptist. Hey, go out and knock on some doors. You know something? Knocking on doors can be a blast. You never know what you're going to get when you knock on a door. I could tell you some funny stories. I'll not this evening for time's sake, but I could tell you some interesting stories of some doors I've knocked on before. You never know what you're going to get. But you know something? You go to that door and you knock on that door, it may get slammed in your face. And if you do it long enough, it most certainly will, okay? But you know something? God has called us to be soul winners. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, God is calling you to be a soul winner. And at times that may be hard. At times that may not seem like the most fun thing to do. But you know what? God's called you to do it. God saved your soul from hell. Why wouldn't you not want to tell somebody else about it? I'll go ahead and close with this. Find out where your heart is. Is it serving God? Is it involved in things of God? Is it in the right place? And then is it clean? Is there a sin in your life you need to make right? Make it right this evening. And then be actively serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, until one day He calls you up into His kingdom to spend an eternity in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. God, we thank You so much for this evening. Thank You again for the opportunity You've given me. Lord, be with this church. Be with the congregation this evening. Lord, be with me as well. Help each and every one of us together as we seek to serve You with our lives. Help us, Lord, to keep our hearts and our attitudes right with You. Help us to keep our hearts and lives clean. And God, help us to be actively serving you.